This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
With Chicago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Ross Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 323-254-316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-304. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Guess what? It's coming up in February. Yeah. It's always interesting. Always got some powerful presenters and powerful information. And today we're going to be talking to some of the folks who are going to be heavily involved with this from RF. And we're going to talk about it. It's coming up. It's the Bahamas Economic Outlook. And we're going to talk today with Gerhard Bukes, the Vice President of Fund Development and Management at RF, and also Mr. Ian Khan, who is the host of The Futurist on Amazon Prime Video. Okay. Welcome, gentlemen.
Great to be here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
No, it's my pleasure. Now, I think you will concede that it is an understatement when I say you are having this outlook at an interesting time in history.
I think we certainly are. I think apart from the fact that it's on February 13th, that is a pure coincidence. It's also a very interesting time for other reasons, and I think, you know, we're having some amazing speakers like Ian, who will elaborate a little bit more, and I think we're very excited about it. As the Bahamas Premier Annual Economic Forum, you know, we designed to help business leaders, policymakers, and the public understand the forces shaping the regional and global economy. We're really at the front end of that.
And that's one of the things that I find unique about the forum is that it kind of takes this broad global view and then zooms it in to the region, the country, and so people get to have a very sophisticated context to the kinds of economic and financial things happening in the world.
Yeah, that's right. I think the conference really provides critical insights. We live in the global economy sometimes, whether we want it or not, and we try to help businesses stay competitive in the world, looking at how the world is going to be reshaped by AI, automation, and generally by global change. And mm-hmm. I think Ian can definitely elaborate on how he sees that as well.
By the way, Ian, as a futurist, I bet you lots of people would love to know how you're looking at the future these days.
Absolutely. You know, as a researcher of emerging trends, technologies, economic, geopolitical things that are taking place every day, I'm definitely overloaded on the current era because we are living in interesting times, as you said. We've got a lot happening in across global economies, whether it's progress, development, growth, tariffs, what have you. A lot is happening. We then have emerging technologies that are really changing not just productivity, but really what we think of ourselves and how we work and what we believe in. And that is the bigger question, you know, with artificial intelligence, robotics, a lot of things are changing. And last but not least, to be aware in an era such as this, which many consider just as the beginning of a big change, big shift towards the positive, you know, we have to kind of keep our eyes open, our ears open, and definitely try to digest what is being given to us and have an eye to discard information that's noise. So all of that is a daily thing that we all futurists, and I'm definitely looking forward to sharing all that shortly in the Bahamas.
You know, one of the things that a forum like the Outlook does is provide information, good, solid information. And I can't imagine anything more important to not being overcome by the fear of uncertainty associated with the dynamic change we have taking place in the world today. Do you think the fear is outpacing the enthusiasm about the change or the prospects or the possibilities or the opposite?
I'll try to take that from my perspective. I think it really depends on which fountain are you drinking from, what is in your feed, on your X, on your Facebook, in your news, because all that, again, is curated automatically based on what you saw before, what you viewed before. So, you know, there's a bandwagon effect in kind of process. You get served kind of what you kind of see. So if you look at positive news, positive opportunities, exploration, how to benefit, then you will see a lot of opportunities. Wow. You will really truly believe this is the greatest time to be an entrepreneur, a professional, and to be where you are.
Interesting.
But if you look at the dark, the damage, the why things are going wrong, then that is what your feed from your social media will feed you.
Wow.
And so really, I think the primal choice we need to make is look for positive content, not just psychologically positive and feel good, but honestly growth related, and surround yourself with people who are talking that. So the forum.
Like going to the forum. Exactly.
The forum is that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Like, it also is not about information being given and served in a package. No. It's going to be about insights. It's going to be about opportunity and how to get to that opportunity right now with the right tools, with the right expertise. So register for the forum.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think also what we should consider as a business in the Bahamas, we know that artificial intelligence is going to have an effect on workplaces, industry, and global markets. And what we seek to aim with the theme of the AI tsunami is really to see how the conference can explore how businesses can prepare for, adapt to, and capitalize on the AI-driven innovation rather than be overwhelmed by it. I think we don't really understand exactly what AI is. As general consumers, you know, Ian lives in this world as a futurist, so he clearly sees it. And us normal folk, we don't see that yet. And I think the opportunity for us is to look through all our esteemed speakers' eyes to see how they see the world. Don't be scared of it. See how you can capitalize on it. Because if you can learn from this esteemed list of speakers that we have, I mean, I can maybe just list some of them. Of course, from Ian that we have on the show with us today, we also have Michelle Weaver from Morgan Stanley that brings some financial ilk to the panel. We've got Jamie Metzl, Rich Colgart, Jill Heinerth. We have really an unmatched expertise across technology, economics, leadership, and innovation, all under this banner of AI, and what does that actually mean? So we're very excited about it, and I think everybody should sign up for this.
AI has become for me like a growth partner, right? So in almost every aspect of my life, AI plays a role. It's business, the work that I do at the university, AI is a partner, I understand, has limitations just like I do, and is evolving and developing. But rather than be afraid, you know, I see it as something that can be a partner in all that I'm trying to do. And but you're right, with our limited understanding, that can either bring limitations of use or it could bring fear. And Ian, depending on what you're being fed, the fear could grow even more.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I just want to add on what Gerhard said. You know, this forum brings together some really amazing experts. I'm honored to be part of them. And the one thing that attendees are going to get beyond the knowledge, beyond the updates, is I believe they are going to get a playbook to play the next 5 years of their life, whether they're an entrepreneur, an investor, a thinker, a business person, somebody who wants to get into business or make a change. This forum is a place to get that playbook, because we all will share insights that are not available on the news feed, that are not available in the general public. Like, our role at this conference is to distill everything down so that they can practically apply it to their situation. So that is definitely going to happen. And AI, for me, honestly, is this enabler of opportunity that I always knew or wanted to have but never had. And it's true for everybody else. We really need to take a little bit of a deeper dive to know what is coming our way in a very positive way.
We have Chris Adley also. Chris, your thoughts about the forum coming up and what people should do and why people should attend, who should attend? You got Chris?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I didn't intend to say much today, but thank you so much for
inviting
me.
You could blame my producer for that, man. He tell me, say, you got to put Chris on.
Just here working behind the scenes.
I got
looking
you.
Forward to great numbers at the conference. It is RF's premier calendar event, and you know, very early in the year, so it absolutely sets the tone and gives professionals, C-suite executives, and everyone that's in the business of doing business in the Bahamas, you know, the way forward for the rest of the year.
Ian, you know, one of the things, I've attended these conferences, and one of the things that I've noticed is it has a motivational component. So it's trying to tell you, you know, you want to get out there and make it happen. Then you have this insightful opportunity where people are getting, as Ian said, insights that this is not regular insights. And so you have that. So it's the 13th of January. It's where? Where is it going to be held?
So it's at Bahamar. Mm-hmm. So listeners can register and pay online. Just go to www.rfbeo.com. We sold out every year. It attracts over 400 people. We're always inundated with people saying, I couldn't get a ticket, but unfortunately we're restricted to 400. So
13th of February. The producer said, no, not January. January 13th is gone. 13th of February.
I said January, I'm stuck in
no,
January.
I said January. Not you. 13th of February, yes.
13th of February, absolutely. And ticket prices are $600 a ticket, and there are group discounts available. Please check out the website for details.
Okay, and it starts what time on the 13th of February?
I believe it starts at 9, but come early, there's good coffee.
Yeah. Well, the environment is always exciting, for sure. And again, it's half a day or a whole day?
It's a full day.
Full day, okay. All
but
right.
But you won't even notice that it's a full day.
Well, I can tell you, I've been there, sat there, and it was never something I spent, you know, when is this going to end? Because every speaker, really engaging, really insightful. I mean, just great information. Of course, I must tell you, Ian, I'm looking forward to listening to you and others.
definitely. And guess what? I'm also giving away some free copies of my book signed right there, so whoever's in can get a chance to get a copy of my book.
Super.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. And I think we just want to thank our presenting sponsors, especially Alive, Graham Thompson, Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, and the Tribune. We've got some amazing presenting sponsors and other sponsors involved as well. So it's going to be a great event. We look forward to seeing everybody there.
Sounds like a great plan. Now when I go and watch you on Prime Video, Ian, I'll know. Yeah, I shook his hand, man.
You bet.
Had him on the show. But Gad, once again, February 13th. So we're not interrupting anybody's Valentine's Day.
We're going to create some conversation topics for your Valentine's dinner.
There you go. Okay. And so, and that's at Bahama. And again, you can register how?
Online, www.rf. Go check it out.
All right. There you go. Good talking to you, Ian, Chris.
Gerhard. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We'll see you there. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All righty. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we got some stuff in the news to talk about. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island, Ambos Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road to get through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I'm so glad that you could join us. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. If it isn't clear to you that this country is getting ready for general elections very soon, something's wrong with you. All these parties are naming up their candidates. Some prospects are even rowing amongst themselves and blaming the chairman for siding with somebody else. What time it is? The thing close. The parliamentary commissioner says uptick in voter registration and transfers are taking place. So people know and believe it's time. And the election is right around the corner. Which corner? I don't know. I don't know if it's the March corner or I doubt it's the April corner or the May corner, which I think is probably more likely. But the election is definitely in the air. The Free National Movement is calling on Clint Watson to resign. They're calling on Clint Watson to resign because Clint Watson has sought the nomination for the Progressive Liberal Party. Clint Watson, of course, is the general manager at ZNS. ZNS is a public corporation. ZNS belongs to the people of the Bahamas, and ZNS therefore serves the needs and interests of the people of the Bahamas, not in a partisan way. Of course, we live in the real world. We live in the world where ZNS was, at one point, the only radio station in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the only television station in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We lived in a period of time where the Progressive Liberal Party, in that environment of the electronic media being owned by the government, used it in many, many partisan ways. That's not a fiction. That's a reality. I myself know what that was like, because I had my own dealings with ZNS at that time, with one issue. But that was the thing. I mean, we have long, since been past that. When Mr. Ingram and the Free National Movement media was privatized, and so ZNS came to have competition from all over. People had various options to get their information. So ZNS does not have a monopoly on news, does not have a electronically presented news, does not have a monopoly on that electronic media in that way. But in any event, it remains a publicly owned radio and television station, a broadcast network. Therefore, the expectation is those people who serve it do so in a fashion that reflects the nonpartisan nature of a publicly owned station. Now, the Free National Movement says that that Mr. Watson should resign because he is now reflecting a partisan, and that in so doing, he is embraced in a conflict of interest. Now, I have to tell you, right, how this is dealt with depends on what the rules are. What are the rules? Being partisan can't be a reason to resign, because under the PLP, under the FNM, that organization has had partisan leadership. You want me to say it again? Under the Progressive Liberal Party and under the FNM, ZNS as a corporation has had partisan leadership, meaning it has had leadership known, not unknown, not suspected to be, known to be biased toward, supportive of one of the major political parties under the FNM and the PLP, and I could call names till the cows come home. Right? Or even I could call names until this every day the sun come up. We all know this. This is a fact. This is a fact. So it can't be merely that you want the FNM or you want the PLP to win and that's who you support that creates a conflict of interest for you, because in ZNS, in the public hospital, authority in the ministries of the government of the Bahamas, this is a reality of existence in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. There are people who have partisan preferences, partisan political preferences. You could be a lawyer, you could be a doctor, you could be an engineer, you could be a executive civil servant. People have partisan political preferences that are known, not even not known. So it can't be that, merely that. It has to be a question of whether your partisan political preference manifests itself in a way that jeopardizes the service and proper functioning of the entity to which you belong, and whether your displayed preference creates a nuisance for the public to believe that you are serving them in an appropriate way. So the appearance of conflict of interest is not the existence of conflict itself. And the existence of conflict of interest is not in and of itself the problem, because we are always every day involved with conflicts of interest ourselves. The conflict of interest exists, meaning that there is the opportunity for a primary interest to be subjugated by a secondary or tertiary interest. That question is whether we play out that conflict by subjugating the primary interest to the secondary or tertiary interest. That's when it becomes a problem. What do I mean? Glenn Watson has said he wants to run for the PLP. You know what that means? And no, there's no uncertainty about this. That means Clint Watson is a PLP supporter. Period. The general manager of the government corporation, ZNS, is a PLP supporter. He's a PLP. That's what it means. Yeah, but so is the Prime Minister of the Bahamas and all his ministers and all the members who caucus with him in the Parliament of the Bahamas, some of whom run government corporations. They're all PLPs, but they are elected officials. Yeah, but the corporation is a quasi-government corporation, and people have left that corporation and ran for political, and people who ran for that political parties or sought nomination for the political parties have afterwards served in that corporation in leadership. Right? The question is, how does a Clint Watson act as general manager? How has he acted before? Has he been faithful to the charge of the corporation's mission to serve the interests of the Bahamian people? Will he be able to do so, having now publicly sought the nomination for that party? Now, he has a judgment to make, the Prime Minister has a judgment to make, and the people of the Bahamas make their judgment on the matter. Should he resign, having now nominated himself for a candidacy? Should he resign? That's the question. Should he resign now that he has publicly nominated himself for candidate? In the public service, if you were working in the public service as a civil servant and you did that, you know what you'd have to do, right? You'd have to resign. I worked as a civil servant, and I was a contractual person. And when I was asked to run for the Free National Movement, Mr. Ingram said to me, he said, "Zhivago, when you begin now to campaign, having decided you will run, you will cease to work for the government of the Bahamas. And the party will support your efforts. And up to the election day and after that, you're on your own like Daniel Boone." Right? So I resigned, and I was not a permanent and pensionable person, because clearly, having nominated as a candidate, could I serve in the Bahamas Investment Authority, then as a person deemed a nonpartisan? No, that could not be perceived that way. So I resigned. A civil servant would have to resign. Would have to. Right? That's my understanding of how general orders work. Right? So, should he? Here's the question. What you think? We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, you can let us know What your thoughts on him? The FNM say, yeah, he should go. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host.
Care professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motor's new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Chicago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on any of the numbers, you can do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Dwayne Sands, the chairman of the Progressive of the Free National Movement, Dr. Dwayne Sands, says Clint Watson cannot continue to serve as general manager of ZNS while actively seeking political office for the Progressive Liberal Party. He should have resigned the moment he declared his partisan political intentions, which have clearly clouded his judgment and actions. For personal ambition or political rights, every Bahamian is entitled to participate in the political process. This is a question of fairness, a glaring conflict of interest, and whether the head of the national broadcaster can remain in office while engaging in nakedly partisan political activity. So let's look at Mr. Sands' statement. He says Clint Watson cannot continue to serve as general manager. Okay, and so tell me why he cannot. Is there a law prohibiting him from doing so? Is there a policy of the government and or the broadcast corporation that is preventing him from doing so? If there's none of those things, then you are now relying on judgment and discretion. Okay, that's what you're relying on. Unless a law requires it, unless a policy requires it, unless a rule requires it, the issue of cannot is not really the issue at all. not a question of cannot. He's now seeking to run, and he is now still general manager of the broadcast corporation. So it's clearly it can be done. So is there a law that prohibits it? Is there a rule that prohibits it? Is there a policy that prohibits it? I don't know of one, but so in the absence, therefore, of those, the question is now one of ethical judgment and discretion. That's what it is. This is what it boils down to. And what Dr. Sand says is this is a question of fairness and glaring conflict of interest. That is true. It is a question of fairness. The question of, if you are somebody who runs the corporation and you have a partisan preference for a political party, can you run the corporation in a manner that does not discriminate against anyone who is not supportive of your party? That's a question. My answer to the question would be, yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's possible. But whether your public believes you can, that's a different story. But it's possible. Because unless you show and demonstrate that you have not, then no one can say that you have. So it's possible. Right? But the issue of fairness and conflict of interest does arise. You are seeking a nomination for the political party. You have a preference for this political party. And so the question of fairness, and it is a question, can you be fair? And can this conflict of interest that clearly exists because you have a preference, can this conflict of interest be overcome by a demonstration of pure professional, non-partisan judgment? That's the question. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. You're bubbling. Sorry, I don't know why.
Okay, let me hang up and call you.
Please, because I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead. We have another call on the line.
Good day, Mr. Sabado.
Hi.
What about Mr. Sabas? I mean, they let the PLP let Mr. Sabas and the number of people them manipulate the country without them putting in stipulation on what the number of boys them could do from what they can do.
But Sabas is not a public corporation. He has a private enterprise.
Other people can't run. Why does he have
Hold on. Tell me who can't run. Who's the other people who can't run?
Well, and they didn't want Miss Leslie Brace run the way. I mean, do what she's supposed to do. She can't take the portfolio due to the fact of who her husband is.
Yeah, but that's as a minister. That's a policy judgment of the prime minister and them.
Under law. Mr. Lang, the former prime minister, what is his name? Terry Christie. He led the number boys to manipulate the whole situation in the whole country.
That's a different situation than what we're talking about. Let me tell you why I'm not going to listen to it, because I'm staying focused on an issue, and what you are doing now is that focus with a different issue, and I don't want to do that. Okay, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Yes, Linda Wilson calling.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah, let me bring some clarity to this discussion as it relates to Clint Watson.
Thank you.
General orders is what governs the behavior of the public servant.
Including the members of these private corporations.
Yes, it is quasi.
Yeah.
And it is funded by the taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm,
so it's not a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so publications and public utterances on political and administrative matters, that would be found in General Orders 932, 933, 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to like 939, 38. when you, so it speaks about, it really says, let me just read 1932 for you.
Mm-hmm.
A public officer must in no circumstances become publicly involved in any political controversy unless he becomes so involved through no fault of his own, for example, in the proper performance of his official duties, and he must have the have it in mind that the publication, either orally or in writing or any material, whether of direct political interest or relating to the administration of the government or of the or department of the government or any matter relating to his official duties or other matters affecting the public service, they should not be immediately, and they should not be involved, the public service, in such controversy. And then it goes on to periodicals, newspapers, etc. Now, dealing specifically with the political activity of a civil servant, you can find that in general.
Now, let's keep it to civil servant versus public servant now, because they do different things.
Yeah, but civil servant and public servant is used interchangeably.
No, ma'am.
It is.
In general orders? No.
Yes, I'm saying sometimes we say, oh, we're a public servant or you're a civil servant, both mean.
No, but I think it's important to know there is a distinction, though. Every public officer is not a civil servant. Every civil servant is a public officer. If the PLP hires a person on contract who is purely partisan to themselves and working with a minister or and what have you, that's a public officer, but it's not a civil servant.
So, for instance, is the general manager's position a contractual position, or is it a part of the public structure of that event?
Well, yeah, but see, the point that I'm making is, the question is, and I think you're saying that the general orders applies to all public officers, so it doesn't matter if you work at the corporation, it applies to you. So that's what we're saying, right? It's the general,
yes,
okay.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, because that's the only thing that matters in respect to general orders. Does general orders apply to public officers broadly?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so that means...
And then you injected about a contract. So let's say it's on a contractual basis, then that's a different...
No, it wouldn't matter. If you tell me general orders, and I honestly, to be honest with you, I don't know this. I'd love if somebody else who's au fait on this, more au fait on this, could
yes.
say. But if you tell me, my understanding was the general orders apply to civil servants, okay? But if you tell me general orders apply to public officers, it doesn't matter if you're contracted or you are outright engaged by the service. It doesn't matter, because all persons who get paid under the public purse to do work on behalf of the public service are public officers. Not all are civil servants, but all are public officers.
Correct.
Yeah.
So just quickly, let me tell you what the political activities of...
Right.
And now it says civil servants. So that's general orders 949. And it speaks again to the first duty of a public officer is to give his undivided allegiance to the state, example, the government of the day. In joining the public service, a public officer voluntarily enters a profession in which his service to the public will take a non-political form. And whatever may be his political inclination, his impartiality in the performance of his duty must be beyond suspicion. It follows, therefore, that a public officer should not normally take any active part in matters of public or political controversy, and particularly if the matter is one of which he's officially concerned.
Hmm. And then
they're calling for resignation. So the political activities in the Bahamas may be defined as adoption as a candidate,
mm-hmm.
election to the House of Assembly, holding office in a party political organization, speaking in public on matters of national political controversy, and expressing views on such matters in letters to the press, or in books, articles, or leaflets, or on television. And then it goes on to canvassing, distributing pamphlets on behalf of a candidate or a political party, etc. but the time for the resignation does not come until the individual is ratified.
So there's two things here as far as I see. It turns on who is a public officer, right? And then it turns on nomination. So let's see what it says about who's a public officer. It says that a public officer or officer means a person who holds a pensionable office within the meaning of any act relating to the pensions or gratuities of persons employed in the public service. B, a person employed in the public service whose employment is not of a casual nature and whose whole time is employed in the public service. And then it gives a definition of government servant. Government servant means anyone in whatever capacity under whatever conditions of service who is employed by the government. Okay, so does Clint Watson, as an example, fit into the category of a person employed in the public service whose employment is not of a casual nature and whose whole time is employed in the public service? So then if somebody might ask, well, what's the public service? Right? What's the definition of the public service? Public service means the service of the Crown in a civil capacity in respect of the government of the Bahamas, including service member of Judicial Service Commission, the Public Service Commission, or the Public Service Commission, but save as may be otherwise expressly provided, does not include on the personal staff of the Governor General or as a Justice of the Supreme Court or as a Justice of the Court of Appeal or in the Ministry of Tourism. So everybody else is in the public service.
Which also, again, we would need to know, I guess, the circumstances of his employment.
No. It doesn't matter. He's full-time. He's working in a public a corporation, and it's a part of the public service.
Well, to my According knowledge, to let me just interject this. To my knowledge, there are approximately four teachers. I think three of them have been ratified. Before it had been ratified, actually. And what they did is they took leave of absence.
I've seen that before, too.
They're on leave. Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that, even in corporations.
But once ratified,
you have to go.
You must resign.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this news break here, listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Our interest in the issue of Clint Watson, as an example, is to understand the nuances that and the rules that relate to a person who is a general manager of a broadcast corporation seeking the nomination of a political party. It happens in this instance to be that it's a Clint Watson and the Progressive Liberal Party. do I know of any chance in which, for instance, a general manager, head of the broadcast corporation, has sought the nomination publicly of a political party? I know of persons who served as the executive chairman of the broadcast corporation who were a candidate for a political party, for the Free National Movement. I know of that situation. I don't know of any general manager that took an active role in seeking the nomination. So this is, for me, new territory. If you're out there and you know of an instance similar that happened with the corporation, then let us know. I don't know of another corporation where the general manager sought the nomination. I know of situations where employees in a corporation sought the nomination and controversy arose, and subsequently the person resigned but asked for leave to run, and the rules provide, you know, that if you don't win, you know, you could return. So I know of situations like that. Okay, we have some text here. This text says, Mr. Lang, Mr. Watson should have resigned before he indicated that he was running for a political party. Yeah, but you say should have. Why? Why? You say should have. Why? If it was an FNM, the public service would have written them a letter regarding their involvement in politics. So now for you, it's a partisan issue. If it was the FNM, the public service would have written because it was the FNM. But the public service isn't going to do it now because it's the PLP. That's your notion. So the permanent secretary recently sent out a letter regarding public servants' involvement in political activities. Failure to adhere will result in disciplinary action. Fair in his daily duties as a general manager. You know that for a fact because you know the future and you know everything he'll do, etc. See, I don't buy them kind of statements. You could say, I believe he will be. But you're making a statement of fact, and I'm sorry, you have no grounds on which to do that because you cannot read the future. You cannot. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In my opinion, there is no conflict of interest in Mr. Watson seeking a nomination because the position of general manager of the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas is a political appointment. When government changes, the general manager is expected to resign immediately or step aside at the end of their contract in order to allow the administration to appoint someone who can morally save their political interests without compromising the journalistic integrity of the Broadcast Corporation. I don't know where you're getting that from. That is not true. You have no obligation to resign. None whatsoever. That is not true. You can't verify that. You can't substantiate that from any rule, law, or policy. That's not true. So in the end, I see no reason to be disturbed by Mr. Watson seeking a nomination while holding that position. Well, given that you hold this view, you don't see any reason to be disturbed, but your view is not supported by the facts, actually. A general manager of the Broadcast Corporation has no obligation, none whatsoever, to resign on a government change. None whatsoever. Does a general manager of BPL automatically change because of government change? No. No. Or anywhere else? No, that's not true. Bahamas Air? No, it's not true. They can change, but there's no obligation to do so. So I'm sorry. I'm just saying to you that you're not basing that on facts. This says, good day, good show. For clarification, the items that Mrs. Wilson listed are those things not allowed only after ratification. I want to understand what is allowed while still working. Sorry to make you repeat yourself. No, she's talking about that. Those rules relate to what's not allowed when you are working as a public officer. So if you're a public officer, you cannot do those things. That's what she was alluding to. After you resign, you do whatever you want, right? But not while you're working, okay? This, let me see, we have some text here. It says there was an individual working for the broadcast station who wanted to take part in frontline politics and was then warned by the general manager that any political involvement may result in termination or that individual should resign. Now, the general manager is vying for the frontline politics, and there has been no apparent consequences. I agree the general manager should resign. Well, this happened under this present situation, this present general manager, this present administration, or this is something you know about from some time ago. This says, Brother Lang, I remember when Pakisha Parker ran for the FNM in 2012. Did she step down from ZNS? Help me on that. Yeah, she was not at ZNS when she was running. No. She was not at ZNS when she was running, no. This says, good day, Mr. Watson. In my opinion, doesn't need to resign until he's ratified as a candidate. Till then, don't knock the plate of food out the machine of him. He has his bias, but he appears to have the ability to set them aside and ensure unbiased reporting. If we really want to get serious in this country, we should mindset that for the government, from the groundskeeper to the chairman of the board, should be allowed to show their political leanings when executing their duties. I think that is true. That is true. You know, in the U, if you are in a government vehicle, you can't show up to a party headquarters and them kind of things. You got get in your own car, go there. This text says, to answer your question, present administration by the CNGM, Clint Watson. Really? Okay. I don't know about it, but, you know, if you say so, I don't know. So, according to what we read in general orders, if you're prohibited from certain kinds of partisan political, from any kind of partisan political posturing, then obviously overtly running for a political party would qualify as that. And, you know, the general orders didn't say what you have to do when that is discovered, you know. It just says that you shouldn't do it, and then now the permanent secretary and them have determinations to make regarding your... Let me tell you how it works. ZNS is a public corporation. ZNS would then fall under a ministerial portfolio. In this case, I suspect that ZNS falls under the ministerial Prime Minister of the Bahamas. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas' portfolio would have a permanent secretary. Secretary is administratively responsible for the affairs of the portfolio, the many departments that fall in that portfolio of the Prime Minister. And so if they deem that something untoward has happened, then they can decide that some action or determination is taken. Now, that would mean consulting with the Prime Minister on saying X, Y, and Z. And if the Prime Minister decides it's all good and wonderful, et cetera, et cetera, there ain't no law broken. And ain't nothing nobody could do. Nothing. You can't call the police. You can't call the judge. You can't do anything. You could only have the public make up their mind and say, I don't like that, or I like that, or no problems. But there's nothing else you could do. Not one thing, but beat up your jaw. This text says, this is a simple matter. Just explain what the law say about person who holds such positions as Mr. Watson. Should, if he want to enter politics, me, Watson, has nothing to resign for. But first of all, we're saying there's no law, but there are general orders that some people believe apply to public officers, which some reading of the definition of public officers would apply to him. And so, as I indicated, it says what things public officers cannot do in terms of political partisanship, but it doesn't say you have to resign because of it, etc. Judgments have to be made by permanent secretaries and them and those who are responsible for overseeing general orders. And if they decide to do nothing, then nothing will be done. You could call it simple, but you can't tell. See, some of y'all, the problem y'all have is y'all understand. You as a person could say, that's a simple matter. I don't make no big difference. But that's you. You're only one person. Only one vote. and you matter. But that's yours. Your matter, that's you. If other people take this up as an interest and say, I don't like it or et cetera, that's them too. You can't sit around. It's a simple matter. And I don't know what to be. Hallelujah. Just state your case and move on. That's all. You are not more important than anybody else, and nobody else is more important than you. You are just one spoke in the wheel, just like me and everybody else. Some of us may have some influence more than others, but at the end of the day, we only one spoke in the wheel. I say, oh, okay. But is Miles LaRota now a portfolio minister? Or is he still a minister of state? I think he's a portfolio minister now. So yeah, so it would be in his portfolio then. So his permanent secretary would be the one who would have to decide whether there is and has been some breach that ought to be given some consideration, all right? This text says, Clinton need not resign. He has a boss who should know better. He should be fired, but more of the PLPs run, duck, hide, deny. Says, if Clint were working at a private station, he would have been fired. We would not be talking about this. Well, how you could say that? I mean, see, this is what I keep saying. We have to have some clarity when we think. Sabas own a private station. If the owner of a private station could run, and why an employee can't run? And of a private station? If the owner of a private station doesn't have a problem with that, there is no problem. That's what Clint is doing. Ain't gonna be no problem either. But you can't say private station if it was a private station. We have a call on the line. I think we may have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Chicago.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, good. You know what?
Hmm.
I would like to know, during the last election,
mm-hmm.
when did John Pender resign? Was it after his nomination or just before the election?
Well, John Pender was the, he was in that labor, right? I don't know. It's a good question, and he lets us know. It's a good question.
Because when he was in the running, he was not nominated yet. And people were calling for him to resign.
Yeah, I remember. I remember some controversy surrounding the timing of his announcement.
Right. And so what is going on? It's nothing new.
Well, it isn't a question of new. And even, let's say John Pender didn't do it in a way people think is right. So does that mean if somebody else doesn't do it in a way that is right, that that's okay? Even though we could point to, yeah, if you're trying to say this, you're a hypocrite. But those of us who might just be looking at the issue, does that mean it's okay? So if the PLP does something and it's wrong, that's okay. If the FNM does the same thing and vice versa, is that what we're saying?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't wrong for John.
Okay.
He was not nominated at the time.
Okay.
You understand?
Right.
And the same thing with Clint. He's not nominated. He's not ratified.
Right.
They all maintained their job.
Yeah.
Until the time came.
Right. And Instead, right?
Yes. But Clint is saying, if he is ratified,
yes,
he will resign.
Right.
So the public don't need to tell him that. You know, in things like this, we need to educate our people.
Okay. Can I read something for you?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is Eyewitness News on July 23rd, and it is quoting the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party on the same issue you're talking about, John Pender's nomination. This is what he said. This is what it says. Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell, the opposition's candidate for Fox Hill, has continuously lashed the FNM and Pender for his campaigning while holding his post as Labor Director. Not, he wasn't nominated yet, because he was just getting ready to announce his resignation. He said, Mr. Pender openly campaigned in Fox Hill while he sat as civil servant, in violation of general orders, while he tried to fix himself up financially. That's what he...
I remember that.
Right.
And, they also talk about Tinder using the government cars.
Cars, yes, and
right.
And et cetera, et cetera. That's right.
What I am saying is, while that may not be in all forte, the thing is, you need a job. What if you are not selected? You understand?
Well, you remember what I told you, but you remember what I told you was my situation. Did you all know I worked at the Bahamas Investment Authority before I ever ran for public office? So I was a public officer. When I was asked to run, before I was nominated, I had to resign as a public officer. I didn't have to. I had to because I was told by Mr. Ingram, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, well, I don't think he should have told you that because I remember.
No, he could tell me that because let me tell you what political parties who understand people's situation do. Political parties, they say, listen, until election day, we will pay you what you were being paid until election day, understanding your circumstance.
Okay, well, that was an option you had.
Yeah, and then but the political parties could do the same thing.
You're not obligated to leave your
post. No, you're not. There's no law that says so.
People need to be educated.
That's right.
That's right.
There's no law.
My concern is
yes.
For our populace, you know.
That's right. There's no law that says that you have to resign because. Remember when I read Dr. Sands' statement? You remember what I said? I said, he said he should rule what policy says he should.
Our people move too much on emotion, man. I need a higher standard population. We need to come up higher, man.
Yeah, but you know, but no, first of all.
Listen here.
No, with the greatest respect. First of all, that people acknowledge that a law, a rule does not provide for something does not mean they can't hold a position that something should be the case. That's what we call an ethical position adopted by the person. That you can do that. You can acknowledge that the law, see, right now in the Bahamas, there's no law against a husband raping his wife or a wife raping her husband. But there are people who still believe that the law is wrong on that. So that doesn't mean anything is wrong with them. That just means that they have a position that's different than what the status quo is.
I would touch that.
Well, ain't nothing to touch because you couldn't argue against that logically to save your life nor mine. Because that's a reality of life. You are now stating a position. And your position is the law does not prevent this from happening. And when you mentioned it first, you didn't appeal first to the law. You went and said, well, Ben John Pinder did. So you used an example to establish a case for this ain't you. But no, so that's okay, though.
Thing,
that was your argument. Other people have different arguments.
My thing is, some of them that are talking do not understand. The law.
Okay.
There is no law that demands this one resign or that one resign.
Okay.
That is what I can. What I'm.
But that's true.
To.
But that's true.
And that's true.
But if somebody,
or people, that while that may sound good, it is not mandatory by law.
But even if the law doesn't require it, nothing prevents a person from believing, adopting the conviction. It should be the case. Nothing's wrong with that.
Okay, let me remind you of something.
Mm.
When our beloved Hubert Ingram came to power,
mm-hmm.
and election campaigns were very tedious. And you recall him on the podium saying, it is your right to go out to any campaign you feel like, and you could participate,
mm-hmm.
and you could demonstrate, and you could raise your flag, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And on that particular campaign, I am never seen so many public servants publicly displaying their taste for one or the other. All right?
I have never even been
to a political rally.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why you haven't seen public officers display their favoritism. Because, listen, man, but under the Selinden era, man, please,
yeah,
come on.
But the leader
please.
Said it's okay.
And no, you know, but that's in a mature democracy. Some people might think that's okay. That's all right. Like I said before, just PLP, the Prime Minister former was a FNM, and we all expect them still to serve all the people, eh?
You're supposed to.
Yeah, so I'm saying just because you have a partisan position does not mean you can't do your job well. Unfortunately, though, as it is today, it is our general orders. Doesn't make no difference what you, but Alexander Ingram said, you know, public officers have general orders that they have to comply with. Now, if the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, who's head of the government, decides that if you do a thing, even contrary to general orders, I'll not do anything about it, I'll not have anything done about it, ain't nothing can be done about it. Period.
Yeah, well, I still need persons to be more mature, because the same stick you beat one person with, you can end up beating someone else with the same stick.
But you can't define everybody's opposition to your point of view as just their feelings. That might be true for some people, but it doesn't have to be true for everybody. Some people could be.
I know that it's across the board. That's why I see that feeling.
Okay, well, I understand. You're entitled to your position, that's for sure, just like others are theirs.
Yeah, it's across the board.
Okay, we got you. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, what's happening, Comrade Lang?
Right here, man, what's up?
Yeah, GNN, yeah. Listen, I listening to all this tangle up. One thing you're telling me about Bahamian, the average Bahamian person, like the lady said, it's not, they don't know their laws. And that's sad, you know what I mean? That is very, very.
But what would your measure of they don't know the law be? How would you know what the average Bahamian knows about the law?
Because I listen in to your show.
But my show doesn't represent.
And I talk to people.
I got you.
I talk to people, man.
I got you.
But what I want, get in, if you put yourself to run, to me, it really don't matter if you got to quit your job today or tomorrow. But if you're elected, you definitely got to quit your job, right?
And that's your view. Is that the law?
No, I'm asking you.
But you're asking me don't matter because, as you said, average Bahamians really don't know what the law is.
No, a lot. Okay, let me put myself in. A lot of us don't know our rights and our whatever it is. Now, my question is, if I opt to run for politics and I am elected by the people, do I quit my job? I have to quit my job.
Well, the Constitution, if you are a civil servant, if you're working for the government, the Constitution requires you to not be able to hold that job.
Okay, good.
That's one of the qualifications of being an MP.
Okay, now the next question I need...
But that's an MP. That didn't have nothing to do with candidate. That's an MP.
Okay. Let's just say but you just answered that because I was going to ask you that. What happened if I don't get a cabinet, but I'm just a member of parliament?
No, a member of parliament can't work for the public, for the civil service.
Okay. Good. That's the question.
Yeah. That's in the Constitution. You can look under the qualifications for MP, and that'll be one of them.
Yeah, that's all I can say. Because to me, it don't matter whether I quit today or tomorrow if I'm nominated or whatever the case.
I got you.
To get in your street.
I got you. Thanks a lot. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, call.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, man. Good. Yes, yeah. I'm so happy you called.
To the show. I was going to make a call on you before that person called. Mention my name. I tried to call her right after Belinda.
Okay.
But let me say, I now resigned until after I was nominated.
Okay.
Now, this story about me using the car, that was a big lie. Man.
Mm-hmm.
I would drive, I had a personal government-issued car to me at the director of labor. Mm-hmm. I would drive my car by the church and park it, straight down and park it by the park or something. I was walking around trying to, I did that. But you don't campaign in no car. You got to walk around and campaign. So this story with Fred to come with, but I campaigned in the government. You can't campaign in the government car, man.
But you know what they meant? They meant you carried a government car.
Yeah, but that's exactly what he did when he was the cabinet.
F&M candidates, F&M ministers before. They F&M ministers were driving their cars up and down the place up to Election Day, PLP candidate.
We all do it. We all guilty of that.
Yeah.
But let me just say about the resignation now. I would have resigned before that, you know, but you know why I didn't? When I found out that there were some other persons who are big, like Zane Lightburn, I could call his name. I said, wait a minute. He resigned. A couple of other persons who was involved in the political process didn't resign. So I said, I will not resign.
Yeah, but you
I
was just, that was it.
Me, uh-huh. I can be ratified. I have to resign. I resign the next day.
But the question is, and this is what is the question, there was no rule requiring you to resign because you were seeking the nomination. True or not true?
True.
Okay, so yeah. Clint Watson is in no unique circumstance that the F&M should not be acquainted with having had other candidates in the similar circumstance.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
He just happens to be in a position where he could influence a lot of stuff. And knowing his past history, when he was beating the F&M so badly, that's the reason why he probably people have more resistance to him than they would have had to me or somebody else who don't have the media. See, the media could really make you and break you. There was a president who said you can't win an election without the media and you can't govern with them.
Yeah, but
I think it was
but the principle.
But
the principle should be because when Duane Sands spoke to it, as far as I read, he wasn't appealing to any behavior of Mr. Watson. He was appealing to the conflict of interest, what fairness could be shown or not shown, and so forth and so forth. But the principle is, as you have indicated, there's no rule, policy, requirement that prior to nomination you resign if you are actively seeking a nomination of a political party.
But there's one rule I think all of us are probably guilty of. When you hold the same position in the public service, you're not allowed to be involved. As a matter of fact, I think civil servants are not allowed to be involved in frontline politics.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, like, if the rule says you shouldn't make public utterances, etc. Could a public utterance be more partisan than trying to get a nomination for a party? Now, again, the rule does not say because you do it, this should happen. The rule does not say that.
Right.
The rule requires the permanent secretary to make a judgment about what is to be done.
Right.
And the permanent secretary is going to be guided by their political.
Right. But let me also say this. I think it's time the country moved forward. And I think it was Prime Minister Ingram who wanted to cause there to be a situation where civil servants could run. And they lose, you're talking about the back track for the lectures at the University of the Bahamas. And I was trying to put it in the, I was trying to make that a policy for the public service. I don't care what nobody says. The reason why a lot of these governments have problems with ministers and people who are put in a position, they do not know the public service.
Well, here's the thing though. I think that if you are going to be on the permanent and pensionable establishment, I do think that there's something wrong with your demonstrating naked partisanship. See, an elected political official, we expect to be partisan in that way because the basis on which they were engaged under the Constitution was that, partisan politics. But a person who is now, boy, you ran for the PLP, the F&M in that constituency, and I's a PLP, F&M coming now to get my thing that may require some discretion on your part. How can I trust that that is going to... You don't want that in the service, not in the permanent infrastructure of the service.
Yeah, but Mr. Lang, the reality is that is what is happening. Why do you think all these permanent...
I don't disagree with you that that is what is happening, but is that maybe contributing to the disillusionment, cynicism that people have about the service? That's the problem.
Let me tell you the problem. We need to amend the Constitution. The Constitution should not speak to the permanent secretary any longer. The Constitution needs to speak to a government, bringing in general managers for these agencies. You get your five-year contract. If the government is satisfied, they will give you a renewal. They can do that. But as long as you're a permanent secretary, you have to, they have to show some allegiance or got a support. This can happen.
Yeah,
if I love the PLP, that's the permanent secretary, I can make sure things happen.
I'm sure, but
if I don't like the PLP, and something's going on, I shall be that. Government look bad, I could cause that to happen too.
I shall be that. But I hear you.
It's the way forward. That's the way forward. Why you think all these ex-primers take these back? This is who the primers will trust. These trust people we know.
Yeah, but that's a different line. I understand. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Flame Grill tastes better. Head to Burger King Nassau. You'll see our legendary Whopper with cheese is made with beef for that juicy and smoky barbecue flavor you love. Topped with fresh ingredients and nestled in an even fluffier bun. And right now, enjoy BK's Whopper with cheese combo with fries and a drink for just $9. Including that, the King gives more food and more flavor for an unbeatable price. Taste the Flame Grill difference at any of Burger King's 7 locations in Nassau.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. The permanence of permanent secretaries can be a check on the political power of political directorates. Because if a person can be brought in to oversee a permanent secretary as a general manager, then they become a glorified political appointee as a general manager. Well, the reason why you have a political directorate is to provide policy direction to the permanent secretary and the ministry so that they can pursue government policy. What do I political appointee over a permanent secretary to tell them to do what for me that I'm supposed to be doing as minister? Makes no sense. But I need someone permanent there who is able to say to me, Minister, that's against the law. That's not right what you are seeking to do without the threat of I can fire you. Yeah, you could send me to a different ministry. You could send me down to cabinet office, but you can't fire me willy-nilly because I tell you what the law says. But a political appointee I hire, I could say, oh, I don't like how you perform, and you get over here. And the permanent secretary is doing what? Listening to them? I know. I'm putting an interlocutor, political interlocutor, between me and the person who's supposed to execute public policy. That's not efficient to me. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. So how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm here. Thank God.
Good.
Mr. Lang, explain to me this. Is it the letter of the law or the spirit of the law should apply in Mr. Watson's situation?
Well, I mean, if you say something should be the case as a matter of law or regulation, then it only could be the letter of the law. But if you say something should be the case as a moral judgment of yours, then the spirit of the law could apply. But the only one that's enforceable by the state is the letter of the law.
Right. So the spirit is determined by the individual.
Yeah, and the spirit of the law is subject to people's ethical discretion, and that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's subject to. Because when you and I are going to rigorously apply a standard, we have to have a common standard to which to appeal. And that can only be a law, a rule, a regulation. Now, if you and I don't share the same ethical standards, moral standards, then we can have all kinds of diversity of application. And that means one person one day gets to be treated in the same circumstance one way, and the next person in the same circumstance another way. That's not fair.
But, you know, because I, and all fairness to Mr. Watson, I watch him on the rundown and things like that. Because he have all the political parties. And but it's like...
My own impression has not been that Clint Watson is a nakedly partisan person. His applying for this nomination is the most overt and express partisanship he's ever demonstrated to me. Now, I mean, anyone sound like we lean in one way or the other, but I have not regarded him as overtly this. Now, I don't know what the people who work with him can say, but that's, I'm just saying what I observe.
Yeah, but all of us have one vote to cast. So at the end of the day, the people
that let me ask you a question. What would you rather? Would you rather someone who say, you know, I really like the PLP, the FNM, and so forth and so forth, working in a ministry or a government entity, and then you get to watch to see whether they are fair or not, versus somebody who never say a word and then still treat unfairly? hiding behind. A pastor told me that. He said, man, I say, man, everybody know you's a this. He said, well, how you know that? I said, man, listen, in this circumstance, anyone acting this way is that.
Yeah.
So.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too, my friend. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller. Okay. So let me read some text here. This text, let's take our final break, and then when we come back, we read your text. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Marcos is so bad.
Don't think small,
think big.
The big XL deal at Marcos Pizza is just $16.50. One extra large, one topping pizza you'll love at a great price. Big nights need big pizza. Made with our founder's signature sauce, fresh cheese, and fresh dough. Taste the freshness in every slice. Big slices, big flavor, big value. Order now at MarcosPizzaBahamas.com. Go big tonight with Marcos.
Always on the go to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to GuardianTalkRadio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the remaining moments of Z Live today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, just tell Dr. Sands he's talking foolishness the way you do to the PLP members. Okay, bro. Boy, some of y'all are so silly. Y'all don't know how to get support. Don't know how to do it. So, good day, Mr. Lang. Sadly, this administration like to take short cuts, and you know what my parents tell us on police warn us not to do. This whole thing about the decision of Clint is easily solved. Just ask Hubert Ingraham. That PM would clear this where Clint would ask himself what he expect to gain. I am not entirely sure about that, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how Ingraham would have dealt with that. I can't say. I'm not sure. Good afternoon. When he go down to the place, maybe so. So good afternoon. Clint Watson's position as GM of ZNS is totally different from John Pinder. Watson can have political influence on his inferiors. And you think a direct hunt, please, please, please. Say, Lang, when Omar was ratified candidate for the FNM, had an interview on ZNS. They shut him down. It was sent to by the DM of ZNS. Okay. I can tell you what I think is not going to happen. I don't think that Clint Watson will resign prior to receiving a nomination. I believe if he does not get the nomination, he will still not resign. He will not be required to do so. And he will not be in violation of any law. He will not be in violation of any policy in terms of not resigning. He may be in terms of seeking a nomination, but I do not believe that the Progressive Liberal Party as a governing party will disadvantage Mr. Watson because he sought a nomination from them. I do not believe so. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Lang.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, well, don't pay attention to them textos and thing with poking at you.
Yeah, man. Now, I mean, that's that ain't nothing. We understand what they're about. Yeah, I blame them. I don't blame them. They do what they got to do.
We also know who they are. I like the fact that you brought up the issue as to whether he's breaking the law or a policy. In the sense that what's his name for now, the member of parliament for that by election, what's his name the other day? Golan.
He's
a senator.
Yeah.
And he never resigned, right?
But he didn't have to resign as a senator to run.
Okay. But the question is to whether or not they could be, and the word someone mentioned earlier, that they could be impartial in exercising their duties. Here it is, Mr. Watson now. Can he be impartial if an issue was to arise as to being a political issue with one of those employees that he's in charge of the whole corporation.
Can I, let me ask you a question. Could the Prime Minister?
Say it again?
Could
Prime Minister?
Be impartial regarding a FNM known to him who has an issue before the government?
He can be impartial?
Yeah, I'm asking. He's a PLP, you know.
I know.
Okay, so I'm asking you, can our Prime Minister, the Prime Minister, Philip Braid Davis is a PLP, but the Prime Minister is not a partisan post. Can he, in exercise of his duties as Prime Minister, be impartial towards an FNM known to him who has a matter before the government?
Yeah, he can be impartial. He can also be prejudicial.
Okay, right. Okay, so what would make him and Clint Watson different? If the question of whether he could be partial or not.
Would it make him different?
Yeah, what would make it impossible for Clint Watson to be impartial in an issue having to do with employees?
Well, Clint Watson in a position where the word victimizing can come in play.
But the Prime Minister of the Bahamas could victimize a billion people any day, every day, if he wants.
Okay, thank you. And you know, right now I'm experiencing that with this town and Crooked Island. My property is on the floor.
Okay, okay.
Person,
all right.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that today. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay? Thanks a lot. We appreciate you calling. All right, this text says, Lang, if I was Clint, I won't resign because Fred Mitchell is not favoring him. You think so? Y'all buying that, eh? Y'all buying that? That the minister, the chairman of the PLP said he does not have any favorites. He said people are bandying his name about, but he doesn't have any favorites. The chairman of anything has to say that. That could be true. It may not be true, but he has to say that. Because as he said, you know, no matter who's selected, he as chairman has to defend them. This text says, I feel that permanent secretaries who outrightly put forth their political intentions should not be a PS any longer because they will not be partial towards an opposing government that they campaign against them. Now, let me make a statement. I know of people who were permanent secretaries who were said to be of a political persuasion. But in my 10 years of serving as a cabinet minister, I have known only of one permanent secretary who I thought acted in a way that I found difficult. Now, I do not believe they did that because I was a Free National Movement cabinet minister. I believe they did that because I was young and they felt offended by having to deal with this 29-year-old upstart. But I have never in my 10 years encountered any permanent secretary who I thought their posture toward me or any of my colleagues, I can't speak for my colleagues. I say what I saw and observed was on the basis that they supported one party or the other, even though I knew some who supported one party or the other. Hubert Alexander Ingram told me on numerous occasions, he says, Shivago, you hear these people talking about, oh, the permanent secretary obstructing this and obstructing that. That's nonsense. He says, it is a rare occasion when you will have a permanent secretary act so unprofessionally as to deny or seek to frustrate the objective of instruction given to them, unless they believed it to be wrong or short-sighted. That's what he said to me, and that's been my experience as well. We have a call on the line. You got the last word today. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Lang, good afternoon, sir.
What's happening?
I would like to work with somebody, boy, and if I could know their political persuasion, that would be good for me because I'll know how to deal with them.
What does that mean? So if you know their political persuasion, what does that mean? What does that mean?
You
know how to deal with them.
I would know how to work with them or work around them. The man who hiding the gun, he's a more dangerous man. And the man who have the gun right in his hand.
I got you.
See what I'm saying? If a fella could be jamming you left, right, and center, you don't know what's happening. But let me know, then I could know what to expect.
Well, what I do know is this. If you work in the government service, you should lead with your professionalism. Your professionalism should be a greater standout than your partisanship.
We should.
Okay. Appreciate your calling. Appreciate your calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z-Lag. I'm Shivago Lang. Your host. So glad you could join us. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Y'all have a great afternoon.